Our second lesson picks up right where we left off. One day, however, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and while no one else was in the house, she caught hold of his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called out to the members of her household and said to them, "See, my husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out in a loud voice. And when he heard me raise my voice and cry out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Then she kept his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant, whom you have brought among us, came in to me to insult me. But as soon as I raised my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." When his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, saying, "This is the way your servant treated me," he became enraged. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He remained there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. He gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The chief jailer paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We have, you notice, skipped several generations in this story, and the Joseph story is a complicated story with a lot of things going on in it. That being said, this is one of the passages we often don't read. We sort of know it happened, maybe, and we skip past it because it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable with good reason. We're not designed to be comfortable when we hear stories like this one. It starts off with a bit that offends our modern sensibilities, buying and selling another human being. It moves on to the realm of sexual assault and false accusation, which also makes us uncomfortable. And the week that we are reading this text and hearing this text is the anniversary of the death of Emmett Till, a young black boy who was killed because it was said he whistled at a white woman. So there is a lot in this passage, and there is a lot that will make us uncomfortable, and that's where we need to be right now. We need to be uncomfortable some of the times. The Joseph story is a huge story, and we have made parts of it so very comfortable in our lives. It goes to Broadway. We sing Father Abraham. All of these pieces have become domesticated, and yet Scripture, the story of God with us, is a wild story. It is not designed to be tamed by us. And so here we come into this passage. So let's look at it again, perhaps for the first time in a long time. The rabbis and the Jewish scholars will point out that this is not the first and will not be the last time that a beloved son is assumed to be dead in the history and the narrative. Isaac is ready to be offered up, and two generations later, Joseph, the story of Joseph's death, is carried to his father, even as Joseph is carried down to Egypt, brought by the Ishmaelites, his cousins, his extended family, through Abraham. And so then Joseph gets to Egypt, and he is bought by a man named Potiphar, who's a man of some significance. And did you hear how many times it said that the Lord was with Joseph? The Lord was with Joseph. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to prosper. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had. So there is this piece of the very firm action of God here, and yet I don't think most of us would consider this story a sign of the favor of God. Cast out of your own house by your brothers, sold into slavery, being as good as dead, being in a foreign land, being a servant and a slave. Where is the love and the power and the grace of God in all of that? I think that's a fair question to ask. Joseph, on top of everything else, is handsome and good-looking, and we know that he sort of knows that about himself. And so his master's wife comes to him and wants to sleep with him. That also makes us uncomfortable in this passage. Joseph doesn't. He says that that would not be appropriate. It's not his place. She is a married woman. And then one day he goes to work and the group who's normally there is not there. And she tries to lie with him and tears his clothes off. Now, imagine if we reverse the genders in this, that it was a woman, Josephine maybe, who came to work one day and her boss's husband was there, and the boss's husband said, "Lie with me," and tore off her clothes. I think we'd hear that differently than we hear this sometimes. So just keep that tension in place. Joseph runs away without his clothes. It was really difficult to find a picture for the cover of the bulletin that did not have people in various states of disrobement, and full nudity, to be honest, for this scripture passage. Found one that I think meets the mark, but it took some doing. And so Potiphar's wife then goes and tells a story about what Joseph has done, and it is tied up with many other things. It is tied up with the fact that he's a Hebrew. It is tied up with the fact that he is an outsider. You hear her say, "My husband has brought among us a Hebrew to insult us." All of those things happen. And when Potiphar's wife tells the story to Potiphar, he is enraged. And he throws Joseph in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Now, I'm going to ask you again, does it sound like Joseph is well loved by God in this story so far? You may say, with some good reason, that if this is what it means to be loved by God, I don't want anything to do with that. Prison, false accusations, enslavement, being sold into a land far away from home, being sold by your family. All of that is the text of this Joseph story, and yet God is with Joseph. We could take that and mirror it on the Exodus narrative, that while coming into Egypt, God is with Joseph, the representative of the people of God. God is with Joseph. And when they leave Egypt, which we'll read in a couple of weeks, God is with the people of God again in a very visible and tangible and obvious to everyone way, whether it's plagues or parting of the Red Sea, or miraculous rains of manna. No matter what it is very apparent that God is with the people on their way out of Egypt. And I think we could say that this story sets Joseph up to say that God is with the people of Israel, God's chosen people, even as they go into Egypt. A reminder that the start of Exodus begins that Exodus narrative by saying that there is a new Pharaoh who does not know Joseph. So there is much there. But just going back to the story for today, Joseph's master has him thrown in prison. And it may sound redundant or repetitive or familiar, but the same exact thing happens to Joseph in prison that happened to him in slavery. The Lord is with him and shows him steadfast love and gives him favor. And Joseph is entrusted with much. And whatever he does, the Lord makes it prosper. That, I think, is important for us to hear today. The places we are called to be are not comfortable. The people we are called to serve with are not always easy to serve. There are stories of betrayal, stories of he said, she said, stories of things going from bad to worse, stories of us doing our very best and still having bad things happen to us and around us and near us. And I think we need to remember, hold on to, in all of this, God is with us. From here, Joseph is going to make his way out of prison, accompanied by the blessings of the Lord. He's going to make his way to a position of high power through the blessings and wisdom of the Lord. He is going to be reunited with his family, including his father. He is going to save his family from famine in the place that they were, in the land of Canaan. And his family is going to move down to Egypt, and that movement is going to set up the Exodus narrative that is going to happen soon. In the feared loss of a child, God is present. In traveling, being forced to travel to another land, God is present. In slavery, God is present. In a foreign land, God is present. In positions where nobody takes our word because we are not to be trusted, because we are the outsider, God is with us. In jail, God is with us. And God will see us through the other side of this story as well. Whether we are moving into a land that will save us or a land that will enslave us. Whether we are at a high point in the story or a low point in the story, God is with us. And that is the power of God's love, that God will not leave us, will not let us go. And to hearken to Paul, there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. To God alone be the glory, this day and forevermore. Amen.